Hallelujah. I was thinking about that the other day when I thought, well, I get up here and I say hallelujah every time. Now, y'all remember I've talked about Rick Renner describing the word hallelujah in the Greek. It's pure light shattering utter darkness. So, you know, when we say hallelujah like that, you know, it's like laying in the bed and somebody flips the lights on over top of your head, right? You're like, that's what I think the kingdom of hell experiences when we shout hallelujah. Now, I love the songs, hallelujah. You know, oh, that's great. Praise God, you entered. But that's like turning the dimmer switch on. I like telling the devil, I'm here. Flip the switch on. Don't ease into it gradually. By the way, I'm here, devil. Come on the scene, you know. Just let the devil know who you are. Praise God. And I'm not afraid to tell him who I am. He already knows who I am. But praise God. I tell you what, we are... I'm excited for today. I'm excited for what God is doing in this country. And I'm going to take my glasses off. I got a little glare. But I'm excited for what is happening. I hate to see the evil men getting away, but you know what? It's temporary. It is very, very temporary. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, it may look like the evil are getting away with it, but they don't. They will not get away. Hitler didn't get away with a thing. Not one thing. Well, the Allied forces didn't get to executing themselves. That's okay. He's in hell. That's worse than anything the Allied forces could have ever done to Hitler. And so, you know, today, as Angela was talking about, I'm going to do a message on Memorial. But since many cemeteries and places are not participating in a Memorial Day type service, unfortunately, we will. We will do it right here. It's a matter of, well, I won't go any further on that. God just shut me down. But anyhow, and the reason being is, folks, we can have that flag over there that represents all of us. Whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, the church needs to understand that as well. That flag represents everybody. And for me to secure my right to worship my God in a way that I see right means I have to respect somebody else's. Whether you agree with me or not, I really don't care. That's just the way I am. People exercise their right to the freedom of speech. And those of you in here who've served, that's why we served, isn't it? Was to preserve somebody else to exercise their freedoms so that mine could be secured as well. However, don't tell me you're taking mine and you get to keep yours. Then, as old Merle Haggard said, now you're on the fighting side of me. So let's just remember that, though, that all of this, I believe in my heart of hearts that all of this is in God's planning. It's in His timing. Things are happening. We're seeing things pop up that never in a million years would we have thought things would. People are getting audacious with their arrogance about what they want. Of course you want that. You want us to bow. These knees don't bow to anybody but Jesus Christ. And I will never deny Jesus Christ. So we're going to bless the tithe and offering this morning. And we do have child care today. So I will dismiss that as well. But I want y'all to know we are in exciting times. And Don't worry about having to, well, maybe we're going to have to lock and load and go after. No, you're not. I told you last week, greater is He who is in you than he that is in this world. You need to not lose your peace. I'm not saying you go throw away your guns. That's actually what's keeping the enemy at the gate and not in the gate right now. But we need to keep our peace. My God's in control. The devil may think he's running the show right now, but he is not. Amen. So Let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your faithfulness. Father, I thank you that you have moved in times when people thought there was no other move. Lord, you opened doors, you closed doors. Father, you diverted evil and you redirected our paths around harm. So, Father, I thank you and praise you for that. And now, Lord, I present to you today our tithe and our offerings, Lord. I pray that you bless them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're blessing and keeping your promises to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated and those super kids may be dismissed. All right. So several weeks ago, I called my mom I'd already knew everything was good with them, and I called just to talk to her and see, you know, just how they were doing again. And she was talking to me about things, and she started bringing up something about memorials. And as we sat there and we started talking about just a little bit, I was like, I really want to talk more about this. Because there's a message. I said, that dog will hunt. Well, that dog's about to hunt today. Many times in the past, you can go right downtown of Mount Gilead here, and there's a victory shaft. It is a memorial to the generosity of the people of Morrow County. During World War I, they raised so much money that per capita they beat everybody else. So that victory shaft was erected. You can find war memorials. Go to Washington, D.C. We have many memorials down there. One thing I think is sad, whether you disagree with me or not, is it's your opinion. I serve for that right. I do not think Civil War memorials in the South should be coming down. They were not erected in the memory of slavery. They were erected in the men, the fathers, the sons, the husbands, the grandfathers who were lost. To say that that is racist is the most extreme racism there is, because it had nothing to do with race. Those memorials are to the people who fought for what they believed in. Whether or not I agree with what they believed in. See, that's been the problem with the last few years of any protesters we've had. They protest my freedom. They use the freedom that we have served for, the freedom that people are living by. They want to exercise it, but they want to deny it from me. And what we have is memorials erected in that honor. You know, down in Washington, D.C., there's a big monument, the Iwo Jima Monument. And there's a saying on there. It says, uncommon valor was a common virtue. That was Admiral Nimitz who said that. And he was talking about the many different... There was a few Army men soldiers on that beach, but there were 70,000 Marines. There was Navy personnel on that beach. And when they hit that island, they were going up against 20,000 in deeply entrenched Japanese troops. And they had the advantage. They were sorely outnumbered, but they had the advantage. All the bombing we did just shook the rocks on the top. We didn't do anything to their infrastructure. And the camaraderie of these men came together. The one person whose profile of his face that you can see is Doc Bradley, a Navy corpsman. He was Navy. But there he is with all those Marines raising that flag, because we came together under one flag to stand. Funny thing about Doc Bradley was he joined the Navy so he wouldn't get drafted to the Marines. Well, here's the sad part. The Marines do not provide their own medical care. The Navy provides it for them. And that means corpsmen are Navy. We call them devil docs instead of devil dogs. But anyhow, that is a memorial to all those men. And finally, they came out with the World War II Memorial. We have the Korean Memorial. We have the Vietnam Wall. I have not actually got to see the real one. I've seen the traveling one that came to River Valley last year. And I'm going to tell you right now, that is a sense of awe. I found the two names of people associated with my family, a great uncle and my dad's best friend. And we have those to remember. That's what Memorial Day is about. It's about remembering what the freedoms we have the freedom today to worship. Our First Amendment right, granted to us not by the Constitution. It just telling the government what they can't do. They're granted by our Creator. And so as we are trying to remember these things, there's something, another thing. I'm going to intermingle this throughout the whole through my message. But I want you to remember the things God has done. There's times in the Bible, if you've been reading, especially Genesis and, you know, reading the storyline of the Old Testament, you'll see where it says, and they built an altar or they erected a memorial. Basically what that is, they piled up a bunch of rocks. I always think of it when I drive by somebody's driveway and they pile up them rocks, you know, big ones on the bottom, and they just stack them up. There's a guy on 61. He's got three or four of them. They're stacked up about that tall. I'm hoping he's got them glued. Sometimes they don't. But I imagine that that's kind of what happened. They would pile rocks up and they'd make a memorial to something God did, something that took place. Anytime there was a battle and God intervened in it, they erected a memorial. And they, I don't know if they carved into the stone what took place or they called the name of something. El Shaddai, this is where God provided. Don't know. I don't know what was actually written on the stone. Here's a little bit for you. It was discovered many years later. An archaeologist, I found it through an archaeologist named Ron Wyatt, who has since passed on. But, you know, many times I've talked to you about the crossing of the Red Sea. Well, everybody always goes to the Sinai side, but it was actually the Gulf of Aqaba on the right-hand side of it. And the reason they know this is because, first off, there's broken chariots at the bottom from the right time. They're Egyptian. They found horse hooves, things that prove that there was something devastating that took place here. And not only that, it's the only place where there's almost a bridge from one side to the other. Either side drops to about 1,000 feet. So for God to have taken Israel across on dry ground meant he would have had to have taken them down 1,000 feet and back up a hill 1,000 feet. But God did not do that. We know this because there have been two pillars found. One on the Sinai Peninsula side and the other in Saudi Arabia. And they were engraved in different languages, but one of them is ancient Hebrew. And it says that it was erected by Solomon to mark the place Israel crossed. Now, you ain't going to find them today because they have been guarded. As soon as he discovered the Mount Sinai, where God came and visited, the one mountain in the whole region that is black because the fire of God came down, and where there are 12 piles of stone surrounding it. As soon as they discovered that, Saudi Arabia came in, kicked them out, revoked their visas, kicked them completely out of the country, built a fence up, and they have military guards around it to this day. They erected memorials to remember. To remember what God did. Now, we don't go around and we don't necessarily build memorials to the things God has done in our life, do we? We don't go out and put a pile of rocks out there or create a statue and say, by the way, the danger in that is you start worshiping the statue. Okay? But what we have are places in our memory. There's a blip. Beep. Your memory is now set. Something took place on the day. I remember the day that the barrel of that 249 saw machine gun came off and went downrange. I remember the day that the helicopter dropped. I remember those. I remember the day the tree fell on me. When I talked to the doctor the last time, he said, you need to understand, you dodged a bullet. I said, I know. I know. God protected me. I remember where I got this little scar right here on the inside of my knee. I was 10 years old. I remember where I got the scar on this thumb. I remember where I got the scar on that thumb. It's right there. I was cutting the fenders off of a 32 Ford model. That little pen knife just went, sink. And I went, uh-oh. That's when I learned to use duct tape. Wrapped that up, and I was good to go. Couldn't move my thumb for squat, but I was good to go. I remember the scar, one of them. I found there's a few more after I shaved my head. I know there's two good scars up there. One's a crowbar and the other was a rock that I hit diving. I remember those things. But I remember the things that God saved me. I remember almost being hit by a car, literally, by that much. I've told that story many times. My grandmother told me, she said, that is my most favorite story to hear. I flagged down a taxi at Camp Lejeune. My roommate and I, we ran across the road. I pointed the spot out to my wife when we moved down there. I said, he ran across the road and I was right behind him. And I said, where that taxi came from, I don't know. It was a Sunday evening, things were slow, but here come this taxi flying out of nowhere. And somehow I cleared one whole lane of the road. Now, the good run and a jump, I could do that naturally. But I was not jumping. And I remember looking back as I heard him honk and just see my foot miss the front end of that car. I remember what my God did for me. I remember. Those are memorials, memories. That's what memorial means. It's a memory. Let's look in your Bibles this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Go to verse 34. But David said to Saul, now let me paint the picture here for you. Some people don't know. It might be people online. Israel has been at war with the Philistines, okay? And for 40 days, they haven't been fighting. They've been listening to a loudmouth, uncircumcised Philistine come down to the edge of the creek bank and call them chickens. Said, send me your best. Send me your very best warrior. And if he wins, we become your servants. But if I win, you are our slaves. Nobody would go up against him. Why? Because his name was Goliath. He was 6 cubits tall. The measurements on that just range so far. It's just ridiculous. But let's say he was as big as Andre the Giant. Okay, most of you in here are old enough to know who he was. Or you've seen the things. He was a big man. He's on The Princess Bride, if you remember that. That really is a good show. I like the movie. But you realize how big he is when he straps 3 people to him. He was a mountain of a man. Let's imagine he was that tall, almost 8 foot, I think. But he wasn't like Manute Bol, about that big around. He was massive. And so was Goliath. And he'd come down and challenge him. And now let's take your average Israelite, about 5 foot eight. You're going up against somebody that big? Yeah, I don't think so. I'll take my chances back in the rear with the gear. And that's what they were doing for 40 days, hiding behind rocks. And the king has promised tax exemption. That would have been enough for me. You're tax exempt for the rest of your life. You never have to pay my taxes again. Oh, by the way, I will give you my daughter. Okay, wait a minute. I get tax exemption, king's daughter. So that means she doesn't smell like sheep. You know, after all, David's been in the sheep with the sheep. He smells like a sheep. Anybody that's ever smelled sheep, you know, they aren't exactly they're not as bad as hog. But sheep and goats just got their own flavor. But she smells pretty. And, oh, wait a minute, if it's the king's daughter, he's not going to want her living in a little hovel of a house, is he? Come on, you got the money and somebody gets your daughter's hand, you're going to make sure your daughter's taken care of. Went dry. So he's probably going to get to live at the palace with tax exemption, king's daughter, and a fine home. Oh, by the way, you're not going to want your son-in-law running around looking like a shepherd, are you? So you're going to put good clothes on him. You're going to call old Armini, come over here. Rabbi Armini, come over here and make him a suit. That's not a slam against my Jewish brothers and sisters. So anyhow, let's go to verse 34. It's a shame we have to say stuff like that to get people to understand a point. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." What got his dander up so bad? Well, he was a Philistine. That's not what got him all riled up. What got him riled up is he was defying God. He said, "The armies of the Most High God, my God." And if my God, remember the memorial, he had placed a memorial in his memories. God saved me from that lion. Now, the lion wasn't there to kill him, was it? The lion was there to eat a lamb. And when the lion took the lamb, he, being a good shepherd, went after the lamb. By the way, you have a better shepherd. Okay? Jesus Christ is called the good shepherd for a reason. He's the shepherd who has conquered the lion that's coming to try to devour you. So in that, he's created a memory. He's got a memorial. And why does he have that memorial? So that the next time something happens, he can rise up knowing. Now, I get it. They've determined that the lions from that region were not the African lion, okay? You know, African lions, what, to the shoulder about right here? They were a little smaller. They were about the size of our cougars, maybe a little bit bigger. By the way, cougars kill people too. I saw a picture of a cougar, and this was a friend of Angela's brother's that sent him the picture. Killed down on the New Mexico border. The guy's holding the cougar up, and it's longer than he is tall. And it was not a tiny little anemic cougar. It was a big, big boy. And you figure it's got four sets of claws that are razor sharp, and the jaws, the business end of that mess, So while you're trying to deal with the business end, you got four claws tearing you apart. David went after that thing. And he said he took it by its beard. Ladies and gentlemen, we're afraid to let the devil know we're awake. And David said, I grabbed the devil by his beard. I got in his face. He said, and I killed him. We need to establish those memorials. Well, God, I don't know. You know, are you going to protect me, Lord? Seriously, Art? Let's go back to your memory. Let's go back. Remember what I did with the machine gun. Remember what I did with the helicopter. Remember what I did with the taxi. Remember what I did with the tree. The tree wasn't supposed to just break my back. It was to kill me. I haven't heard too many tales so far of anybody even walking after a tree falls on them. A lot of people think I'm lying. I got the x-rays to show you. So when God tells me to do something, I'm afraid. Let's go back, Art. Let's review. What did I do here? What did I do there? What did I do here? You protected me, Lord. I was obedient and you protected me. I know a lot of people, I know Cheryl said she got a lot of dirty looks the other day when she said she'd been going to church for 2 weeks. By the way, we aren't the only church open in this county. Again, not going to make this a constitutional message. Oh, but what if? What if a 747 falls out of the sky and lands on you? People won't fly because they're afraid to fly. Oh, you know, those things fall out of the sky. They do not just fall out of the sky. Nearly every plane out there, military and all, can fly with one engine. They just got to keep the hydraulics controlled and keep balance so they can come down, so they can land. The A-10 attack helicopter is designed to fly all tore up. Missing wings, missing this, missing that. The thing can still fly and do its mission. But we're afraid of something normal. Go tell that person, I love them. Better yet, tell them you love them. Tell them you're praying for them. Start listening to the Holy Spirit, what He's telling you. You know, we all prayed for the girl that was missing up north, right? Or south, as you were. I think it was where she was at. Bell. Maddie Bell. I prayed. I saw that the first day when they started sending stuff out, and I saw that and I prayed. I'm going to tell you right now, and I told Angela. She's sitting here shaking her head, for you all know him. She's sitting right here shaking her head. Yes, I did. I told her, I said, that girl did not leave by objection. She stopped her car there. She got out, and she left her phone so she couldn't be tracked. She was running away. I told her that 2 days before she was found, because the Holy Spirit had told me. I prayed for her safe return. You know what I honestly think happened, why she got sent back? I said she got sent back because the guy's picture they were flashing around all over the news was now being labeled as a kidnapper. Now let's mind you, what they played was, imagine this is your daughter. You guys with daughters out there, even your sons. What would you do to the guy that walked off with your child? This guy's like, get away from me. You leave. Go now, and you make sure they know you came willingly. They're trying to keep things on the down low right now, and I respect that. But that's why we have to listen to the Holy Spirit about everything. God has told me not to go somewhere, and I didn't. You know, when I got out of the Marines and we came back here in 95, 96, I took on another job, and 96 I really started missing the camaraderie that I had. You know, active duty, man, you're there with people day and night. You know, there's just something different about it. And I was really starting to miss that. And so I called a recruiter, actually a National Guard recruiter, because I didn't want to have to travel too far. So I was going to go to Mount Vernon. I prayed and I listened to it. My wife talked to me. And I yielded, and I told that guy, he was even going to give me an extra stripe. And I said, for 1 year commitment. I'm like, man, Marines don't give squat away, dude. 6 years and they might give you a PFC stripe, let alone sergeant. And I called him up and I said, nah, I can't. It's not the same, really. It really wouldn't have been the same. Listening to the wisdom that God was speaking through my wife and what he was telling my heart, that unit deployed to Bosnia in less than 30 days. I would have been activated and went to Bosnia. Now you need to understand something. When I got out, Bosnia was starting. We were starting to send troops to Bosnia through the Marines. I listened to God. God protected me, God led me, and he guided me through it all. David remembered what God had done for him. He recalled it, and God protected him. So when he walked down, if you can imagine yourself being David, he walks down there to the creek. He's standing there at the edge of the creek. Goliath is like, what am I, a dog that you send a boy? I think David would have been about 17, they figure. You send a boy, he says, I am going to cut your head off and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds. Now, which brings us to our next verse 45. Same chapter. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now, I want you to understand something. That's like going up to Russia and saying, you know, one guy, I see what you got. You got all your nuclear missiles. You got your tanks. You got your helicopters, your attack planes. You got your subs and warships. You got your troops. But I come to you in the name of the United States of America. Now, imagine yourself being Russia in that shoot. Seriously, dude, we're going to make you a grease spot. That's what Goliath was thinking. I'm going to make you a grease spot. You're going to be nothing but a memory. Okay? This day, this is still David, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands and I will strike you. Now mind you, Goliath has said, I'm going to strike you, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut off your head. And I will strike you and take your head from you. David turns it around and says, oh yeah, I'm taking your head. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines. He didn't just stop at Goliath's carcass. He said, I'm going to give your brothers in arms to the birds of the air. Because you do know what they did with Goliath, right? They cut his body into pieces and sent it as a warning. But David stuck his head on a stick. That was his trophy. They said, this is your giant. This is your champion. And I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David had one reason and one reason alone. Oh yeah, the other things were highly, highly motivating, right? Tax exemption. Good looking girl, we're hoping. Just because she's the king's daughter doesn't mean she was good looking. Okay, but she might have bathed regularly. We'll give her that. Okay, so he's got those two things going for him. But that's not what truly motivated him. It was the arrogance of the giant saying, I defy your God. And David says, my God is going to work through me to bring you down and to show you, not just you, the entire world that there is a God. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. See, ladies and gentlemen, we're constantly worried. Oh, how's God going to do it? There are times God causes people to rise up, right? I believe this country was birthed by God, God-initiated dreams of freedom. I believe that the United States was birthed so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could go out throughout the entire world. It has gone out around the world now. We've even gotten to the headhunters in the jungles of the Amazon. We are sitting at the cusp of what all the prophets, Abraham, all of them, they wanted to see what we're about to see. But they wanted to see it, not because, oh yeah, yeah, they're finally getting their due desserts. They wanted to see it because it would show that their God is the true God. Now I'm going to go back to our country. Our country fought its way. Our country should not have won the Revolutionary War. You can look at it however you want. We should not have won. I told you last week, Washington was not military, period. He knew nothing about being a general, let alone a private. But yet, God used that man. He was a businessman. Oh, yeah, I'll give him that. General? But there's one thing, there's one picture I always like to see. It's the one with Washington in the snow with his horse, and he's kneeling beside the horse. He's praying to God. That is all God needs, ladies and gentlemen. At Valley Forge, they crossed the river. What night was it? Christmas Eve, right? They crossed. Was it Christmas Day? Day? Okay. I'm checking the historian. Day. I knew I was going to say that wrong. So Christmas Day, they crossed. What do you expect is going to happen? They've been playing by, we stop at 4 o'clock for tea. That's how England was. Oh, by the way, quit shooting our officers, please. It demoralizes the men. That was the genuine complaint. Please quit shooting our officers. A little history lesson here real quick. At least Marine officer covers, on the top of them, there's what they call quatrefoil, kind of like a four-leaf clover. The reason that quatrefoil is on there is so that the Marines who are in the crow's nest up top could tell the difference between a Marine officer, an American officer, and a British officer. They knew who to shoot. That's why it was on there. That's the only reason it's on there. Look, next time you see a Marine general or an officer, their cover has that on there still to this day. Why? Because it's a memorial. The red stripe down the side of a Marine's trousers once you become an NCO. It's called a blood stripe. It commemorates the blood and all the NCOs who were killed in the Battle of Chapultepec. Everything about our uniform has something to it. It's a memorial. We remember. When we put that on, we remember. When you come into this place, what should you remember? What God has done for you. David recalled what God did for him so that keep him going. Why? Because David was destined to be the king. We don't have to worry today, ladies and gentlemen, about grabbing our arms and going to fight. I think we're at the end of that fight. I believe the rapture of the church is very soon. I'm not going to say when. I'm not going to say how. I'm not getting into that. It's ridiculous to argue about stupid things, isn't it? Isn't that what Paul said? Why argue over it? But the Bible does clearly teach. Two men will be in the bed sleeping, one will be taken. Two women will be in the field, one will be taken. Be watchful so that you aren't found asleep. Even the parable Jesus told of the ten virgins, five wise, five foolish. Five were wise and they took enough provisions to stay awake and be ready. And when the call went out, I pay attention to that. It said the call went out that the bridegroom was approaching. There will be a signal that the bridegroom is coming. I think we're seeing the signal, personally. Nothing can happen until the bride is out. God is going to fight our battle. Oh, but they're going to come in there. They're going to do this. They're. I don't care what they're going to do. What are they going to do? Take away my birthday? Seriously. We don't need to worry about what people are going to say or think. I care more about what Jesus thinks about me. Did I not carry you through that? Is there anybody who has not read the Footprints poem? Okay, no hands. So you've all read it. You know what it says. But Jesus, why were there just one set of footprints? Why did you leave me? I didn't leave you. That's the computer. I think she's getting set up for the next. Why did you leave me? He said, my child, that's not when I left you. That's when I carried you. It doesn't matter that you're still going through it. Oh, but Jesus, I fell down. How many times did David fall down? Anybody? Don't count. God does. God, you don't want people counting yours. Trust me. So this Memorial Day, we're going to take a few moments here, and we're going to, Joe, if you'll go get the, we're going to take a few moments here to acknowledge. See, I personally think people don't want you to remember what you have. Do I think there's a great conspiracy? Oh, the devil's been conspiring against the church ever since we were birthed. So, yeah, I do. The gates of hell will not prevail. But this country was founded. This country was paid for. Not in rubles, not in dollars, pounds, francs. It was paid for in blood, just like your freedom from sin and death and hell. We must remember. Do you realize, not as you're looking around here, yeah, there's no crosses. Well, it's just kind of an opinion I had on crosses, that why would I want the item of execution for my Savior? And it has nothing to do, listen, don't get freaked out, because by the way, if you haven't paid attention, that's a cross. It's also a sword. It represents two things for me. The double-edged sword that in the book of Revelation that is spoken of, coming out of the returning king's mouth. But it's also in the shape of a cross. Why a cross? So we remember. We remember the blood that was poured out when we take communion, right? That's why we do all that. So here in a minute, we're going to bring up a couple videos. The second one, I will come up. I'm going to ask you to stand. But let me get my stuff out of here. Carsey, are you about, you ready? Okay. Let me turn off the lights for you. What's that? The first tab, yes, ma'am. I forgot to tell you that.
is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
You can wipe your eyes now. That's what Memorial Day is about. And I shudder to think of a day we forget to tell our children why. Having served, I know the price. I know there's many of you in here. We have four vets in here and one who's going to be enlisting, or he's enlisted, got to go to boot camp yet. But we must always tell the generation. That's why I wanted the kids in here. They need to know. I didn't know this stuff when I was their age. Memorial Day was just another day. Mow the yard. Cook out some hot dogs. You got a paid holiday. Memorial Day is so much more than that. There's probably not a family in here who's not lost somebody somewhere in their family to a war. Every one of us, I dare say, has had somebody who's served. This is the point. This is why I know you're scared. If you keep listening to the news, you'll get more scared. I promise you. But courage is not the lack of fear. It is the overcoming of fear. Don't let people steal your freedom. There's peace in freedom. I'd rather live in a country where a person who opposes my opinion has a right to oppose my opinion and voice it vocally. I will not join my brothers and sisters in Christ who would rather see them silenced. I would rather see us all live in freedom. The Bible says that if the Son of God has made you free, you are free indeed. Jesus simply said, don't worry about them. They have that right from their Father. It's called free will. I want everybody to be able to speak their opinion. I want my great-grandchildren. I want my grandchildren. To grow up happy in the land of the free. And as long as we remember the price that was paid for this, we will remain free. But the moment we forget this, I don't care what governor in this state, in this country, has said you shall not do this. I'm remembering what they did. Just because I'm not standing out in the sun in the cemetery right now remembering, I remember. And bless God, I will overcome. As long as we keep that, all the demons in hell can't overrun you. Amen? So, that will conclude the memorial service. And I'm going to pray and bless you, and then that will conclude today's service. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we are grateful to live in this country. Lord, we are grateful for the men and women who have spilled their blood for our freedoms. Lord, may we never forget. May we never forget what Jesus Christ did for us. And may we never forget what our fellow Americans have done so that we may serve you freely. Lord, we pray for those families, the people who have lost their loved ones in most recent wars, and Father, people still feeling the pain from the past. Lord, we pray that you minister your love and your peace to them. Father, I pray for our Vietnam vets that are still dealing with the trauma. Lord, I pray that you help them to first off forgive. Forgive themselves, Lord, and those that are still struggling to forgive Jane. Help them just to let her go and to find that peace in you. Not that they have to support her, but they need to find freedom. Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for courage. We pray for wisdom. Father, we stand behind him as he is pointed to the way to you. Now, Lord, we are thankful for what Jesus has done. Father, we receive into our bodies yet, Lord, the forgiveness of our sins, the freedom from said sins, Father, and the right to live happy. And now, Lord, I bless your people. I thank you, Lord, that they are moving on in growth. Father, that they are becoming more powerful. Lord God, when they get out of bed, the devil shakes his head and says, oh no, they're up. Lord, move in their lives. Father, anybody who's transitioning to a new job, Lord, I pray that you lead them and guide them. In Jesus' name, amen.